Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. While it's no secret that managing work and child rearing can be stressful on families, especially mothers with young children, tonight we are going to talk with an expert who is already seeing the fruits of what Universal Preschool is doing for thousands of mothers in the district and maybe even elsewhere. We also want to hear from you. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also follow us on Twitter at The Daily Drum or follow me on Twitter at Bramante. Joining us in studio is Caroline Charles. She's an early childhood specialist, a former master educator, and former child development center director in the district. Ms. Charles, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's begin. What is Universal Preschool?
Universal Preschool allows every child in the District of Columbia, 3 and 4 years old, to enter into a quality child care program and receive the benefits of learning with a degreed teacher, and youth with either her bachelor's or master's degree in early childhood education.
Now, we talked about what this means for families, but specifically mothers. There's a lot of talk about how, especially in the district in particular, it's allowing moms to be able to go back to work. But we see pros and cons with this also. Let's talk about, from your vantage point, the pros of Universal Preschool, because I know there's been a debate about whether or not this is something that local municipalities and school boards, or for lack of a better term, should be doing. So what are the pros?
Well, let's be clear. If we have it where our children are having a great opportunity to have a learning experience, and that is provided for free by the government, it is a huge benefit to families. Then that's one of the first and primary pieces to the Universal Pre-K program.
And it's an issue of paying and who pays, right? And how long do the children, we're talking about 3 and 4 year olds, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long do they have to stay in school?
Universal Pre-K covers a 2 year period. That 2 year period has it start at 3, and they generally move right into our kindergarten programs at 5. So they'll have their preschool program as well as their pre-K program paid for. It wasn't always like that.
Why not?
What you would have is that you have private programs or you'd have subsidized programs that parents actually had to pay some sort of a fee to have their children be a part of any child care program at that age. And so subsequently, what has happened, and about 10 years ago, the idea was to put together a universal pre-K program for all. So no matter what your salary or home income was, this was going to be afforded to all children in the District of Columbia.
Now, that's the interesting part. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. There are reports are that this program actually has enticed more affluent families to even move into the district, right, to take advantage of this. The district has spent, over $200 million since 2017.
Yes.
On this program. And usually, I think the statistics say about $17,000 per child might
exactly
be paid for daycare during this window. So this may not be down your lane, but how can the district afford to do this?
So they're using monies, I believe, from a variety of funding streams. And with that then being said, they're pooling all that they can to ensure that public schools, charter schools, as well as private programs or community-based programs are afforded the opportunity to give children a chance to come into the programs for free. So they're being, I think, quite smart about how they're using the money. This wasn't something, again, that was kind of just thrown up in the air. This has been a work in progress for the last 10 years.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight, we're talking about universal preschool. Are you a parent in the district interested in getting your young child into preschool in the district? It is free. If you have a child in preschool, what have your experiences been? And if you don't live in the district but surrounding areas and looking maybe for more information on this type of program and maybe why your community doesn't have it, we'd also like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Caroline Charles, early childhood specialist, a former master educator and former child development center director in the district. Ms. Early, who does this benefit, if we can sort of drill it down? Does it benefit a group of people more so than others?
Well, the study conducted by Rashid Malik actually says that this opportunity assists low-income earning moms, as well as moms who originally or who actually have a higher income in their home. So the middle income mom still hasn't seen any sort of increase or decrease in what happens within her home for this purpose, for this program. But the two outliers actually are receiving the greatest benefit.
And we do know it exists in other states, Oklahoma, Florida, New York.
But the district is actually doing it the best.
Why do you say that? Or are you biased?
No, not biased, actually, because we're providing a full-day program. Some of these other states are providing half-day programs. They're not doing it. The model is a little different. And so for our programs here, they're literally providing childcare for a 6.5-hour day as you would in a regular public school system. We do have before and after care that still needs to be paid for. So that's something that needs to be looked at, which traditionally would say is an 11-hour day that our children are in care. And that's just simply because parents have to work 8 hours. They have to get to and from their jobs. And so with that, it's really important that the day is a lot longer. But right now, universal pre-K definitely covers that 6.5-hour block.
From your vantage point as a master educator and a former director of a child development center, does universal preschool, does it benefit more the parent, say the mom who wants to go back to work, or the child in terms of what they're getting at the preschool? And is that a fair sort of question in terms of a comparison, who benefits more?
I would say to you, of course, the family. The family benefits all the way around. Mom has a space and a place where she can feel comfortable with sending her child, where they're going to receive the education that she would hope that they would. She then has an opportunity to earn money, which she might not have been able to do on her own if she had to work, pay rent, and pay for childcare. What I do want our residents and listeners to know is that the district has always tried to provide with community-based programs prior to having children going into the public school systems, this sort of care. When I say this sort of care, quality care. So we've always had community-based programs that were providing quality care to parents. The universal pre-K has afforded us now the opportunity to have wage-earning teachers that are comparable to those in the public school that are now going to provide them with the education that, well, if I was in the elementary school, I'd be receiving such an education. But we actually have community-based programs that are afforded the opportunity through the pre-K enhancement grants that we have that same BA or master degree teacher in a community-based program and still affording the family that quaint, wonderful space that we call a child development center.
Now, you mentioned an interesting point because, you know, once you say free, that can give off a perception of it's universal preschool, it's free. What kind of services are we going to get? And you've kind of already answered the question by saying that you have master educators. So is there sometimes a perception out there, if you hear Universal Preschool and it's free, or are folks just running to it and that's not so much of an issue?
So the perception was that community-based programs did not have teachers that were qualified to teach as you would in a public school. The reality was directors, community-based program directors, could not afford to pay the price of what a DCPS teacher would have started with. So our DCPS teachers make upwards, coming out of school with a bachelor's degree, $51,000. That is not something that a community-based center can pay a BA teacher without assistance and help. The universal pre-K program now affords us the opportunity to have those same teachers in our smaller programs. And so it does help to have that program, because not only are community-based programs afforded, charter schools are also afforded that as well.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our topic tonight, universal preschool. Who's it helping? The pros, the cons. Does it allow mothers now to get back into the workforce, those who want to work? Especially here in the district, universal preschool is free. For some, it might have been a cost of $17,000, statistics show, to even have your child in preschool or daycare. But now, 3-4-year-olds, it is free in the district. She is Caroline Charles, early childhood specialist and a former master educator and child development center director in the district. She's our guest tonight. Let's go to the phone lines now, and Brent is calling from Atlanta. Go right ahead, Brent.
Okay, thanks for having me. I think that the universal preschool program would be an excellent program, and for two reasons. For the child, it allows them to begin to interface with a master educator at an earlier age and begin to engage in the teaching learning process. And for parents, especially mothers, I believe that they can move from an either or paradigm to a both and paradigm. And by that I mean, in many cases, it's either, you know, raising your child or embarking upon a career versus raising your child and embarking upon a career. So,
well, now Brent,
in favor of such a program.
And Brent, you guys have that in the state of Georgia now, correct?
We do have some assemblance of that with the help of Peach Care. But we're still a ways away from the universal aspect, and I think that would even open more doors and provide more opportunities. So I'm hoping that it becomes a reality soon in the district.
All right. Thank you so much, Brent. I appreciate your question and comment. Ms. Charles, one of the issues in the con, right, one of the cons here is that public preschool initiatives only target and benefit the poor and lower income families. Critics say the states should not expand education when so many of the country's public schools are failing. And when we're talking about the universal preschool in the district, right, it is open to all, high income, low income. So why the position that critics say that it only really benefits lower and poor families? Is that a correct perception to even say it should only benefit those?
That it should only benefit?
Or that it only benefits?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, the reality is the opportunities are afforded to all children in the District of Columbia. The mere fact that we know that we need to have the opportunities for those families who are low income or disadvantaged to have this sort of a program in place should never be thought to say we don't want to do that. I think it's really important to understand that there is a gap, an achievement gap, that continues to be there simply because now you're affording everyone the same sort of quality care. All right, that's fine. We don't want to begrudge anybody anything, but we also have to remember that our resources have to be provided in such a way that those who are less achieving, they are given more. we want to stop and we want to break or we want to close that achievement gap. And whatever means we need to do so, I think we should all work to do that. So I don't know that to say disadvantaged families are the only ones who are receiving. I believe it's important that we look at the achievement gaps that are out there and work to minimize those.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Universal Preschool is our conversation tonight. It is happening in the district. The district has spent over $200 million since 2017 on the program. And those who can take advantage of it, it is there. If you live in the district, no matter how old you are, not how old you are, how much money you make, you can take advantage of this. Before we go to break, I want you to think about this. I want you to talk about why the cost for the program is why the cost for daycare in the district is the highest in the nation. The highest in the nation. And she smiles. She says, boy, you hit me with that question. We're going to talk about that, but we're going to continue this conversation. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Universal Preschool is our conversation. Sam, if you are on the line, stay right there. We will get to you. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR. 202-319-7810. Universal Preschool, our topic tonight. Continue to stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher tonight. We are talking about Universal Preschool specifically. It is happening in the district. It is open to all families. It is free. It affects all families. It affects mothers, those who may have been stay-at-home moms and could not afford their families daycare. Now, if you're in the district, you have preschool for your children 3 and 4 years old, and maybe those moms can go back to work. So that's important, too. And is it an early jump start for those young people in terms of what they can learn before they even get to pre-K or kindergarten? So all of that is part of our conversation tonight. Joining us in studio, our expert is Caroline Charles, early childhood specialist, former master educator and child development center director in the District of Columbia. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, our phone lines, and we'd like to hear from you. Ms. Charles, let's talk about mothers with lower levels of achievement in education.
Well,
what does that mean for them?
So it definitely means that they take the opportunity to go back to work. The issue is if you take that opportunity prior to going back to school, you do not necessarily assist your home with growing financially. So it's really important that moms who are or who have achieved, let's say, a high school diploma or something like that, that if they're given this opportunity, it's the idea of going back to school to receive a degree, or if they have a degree, to continue to get one that is going to take from maybe an associate's degree to a bachelor's or a bachelor's to a master. The idea is that if they continue to grow in their own educational career, then this will assist and help their families. And so that was one of the things the study showed, that you have lots of moms going back to work, lots of moms walking into positions, but those moms who were not necessarily at a higher level of education themselves were only able to achieve getting a part-time job. And so it didn't necessarily close the 26% poverty gap that is there for our children. So we still have lots of children in poverty in the District of Columbia, and that has not changed even with universal pre-K coming into play.
And so that's a whole nother issue.
That's a
obviously
whole other
that has
issue
to be addressed. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Let's go back to those phone lines. Sam calling from the district. Go right ahead, Sam.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a District Columbia resident. The concept seems amazing, and I would am all for it. Are there more master educators than there are other teachers? Because I just feel like the district is already behind on regular teachers to getting these bachelor or accredited teachers in the school system as it is. So are there more preschool teachers that are master educators that, like, how is that, where's this difference coming from? And, you know, as a single father, I was fortunate enough to have my 3-year-old son to be placed in a Montessori program. Is that the same as this universal program? The Montessori program was at a DC public school at the time. So I just wonder if you can touch base on that. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Sam.
I want to clarify something. When we say master educator, that's a specific position in the district's personnel. So the teachers that we're talking about who generally will have either a bachelor's degree or a master's degree are not necessarily called master educators, but they are our degreed teachers who are there doing what they know is to be done with young children. So we have lots of different programs in the district. You have your Montessori program, we have Reggio programs, we have programs that utilize creative curriculum as the curriculum of choice. That then being said, what we're looking to do is ensure that all classrooms have a bachelor degree or better teacher in the classroom. That way, we then provide them with not only, because this goes back to your original question, why is it so expensive? We not only are ensuring that we have the degree teacher, but we also have the technology in the classroom that is up to date and state of the art. They are provided with constant professional development, which also is costly, and then resources and supplies are given in abundance to ensure that the children are receiving all that they need so that they will do their best while in our early universal programs.
Thank you so much for your call, Sam. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our topic tonight, universal preschool, rather, specifically in the District of Columbia, what it means for the district, and is this a movement that we will see in more regions of the nation? Let's go back to the phone line. Sarah calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Sarah.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because my granddaughter lives in Laurel, Maryland, and we were wondering who or how to get the ball rolling in Maryland, if possible.
Now, we know that your expertise is in the district.
It's a conversation, one that needs to be held, I think, at the local resource and referral programs. We here in the district, this got started, again, 10 years ago with the mayor's advisory. And there were a group of early childhood professionals and teachers, as well as parents, that got together and said, we need to make this happen. All children in the district deserve to have universal pre-K. And so with that, it was a conversation that got started amongst persons who wanted to advocate for young children. So maybe that is a thought where you go to your local resource and referral. You said Laurel. Not sure, but Landover Road has the resource and referral for Prince George's County. That may be a space and place that you could go to.
All right. Thank you so much, Sarah. And when you're talking over $200 million in the span of 2 years, that's a lot of money to dedicate to a specific kind of program like Universal Preschool. And in Prince George's County specifically, with all the issues that are going on with monies and how it should be appropriated in terms of the school system, I would think that's probably a tough sell because either you have to shift monies or find new monies, yeah?
I believe it would be. I worked in Prince George's County as a Head Start teacher when I first came to the District of Columbia, or the DMV. And at that time, we worked with our low-income families. I had a half-day program, so I spent 3 hours with each of my groups. So Prince George's County has really worked very hard to continue to grow their programs. At that time, I worked with Judy Hoya, who is now deceased, but who just gave a wonderful model for what early childhood should look like. And so that's why you have the Judy Centers all around Prince George's County right now, or all around Maryland, rather, that really show what needs to be done for early childhood in Maryland.
And in your opinion, what should it look like? You said she gave an example of what it should look like, and that's obviously a broad question, but sort of drilling it down, if someone sort of put you in a room and turned off the lights and just had a flashlight blinking in your eyes and they said, shot you with truth serum, and they said, what does an ideal preschool, universal, that's free, look like? Does it look like what the district has out there, or do you have something in your imagination of what the preemptive one would look like?
As you asked the question, I'm thinking of the space that I helped to design at the University of the District of Columbia. One of the things that was very important to me was to have bright lights, large windows, space and place where children could enjoy what they did throughout the day. Lots of, again, supplies, colorful, but also, of course, a quality staff. So the idea was having persons who had studied early childhood education, that knew what to do with children when they were being curious, when they had ideas that they wanted to explore. Those are the kinds of things for me that I look for. Leadership. You have to have someone that knows early childhood so that when things are happening, they either model it, or they model what should happen with children, or they take the time to then explain to teachers what they should do next. It's really important to also see that professional development is happening with the teachers that are there. And lastly, it has to be a space and place where parents and teachers come together to assist and help children to grow. If you're in a program that does not have a communication between parents and teachers and what's happening to ensure that their children are growing and doing well, then I don't know if that's quality. To me, quality looks like everyone working together.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. That voice you heard is Caroline Charles, early childhood specialist, a former master educator and child development center director in the district. 202-319-7810, universal preschool. Our conversation tonight, universal preschool in the district means free for everyone, children ages 3 to 4. Sue is calling from Temple Hills, Maryland. Sue, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant and Ms. Charles.
You're welcome. I just wanted
to say that I was born and raised in the district, and I had my first two children when I was living in the district. And my oldest daughter was in Head Start, and so was my son. And it helped them tremendously. But whatever they learned in school, I had to come home and reinforce. I took the time in the evening to sit down and go over what they learned and help them with their ABCs and help them to write and to write their names and know their addresses and things of that nature. So I think what you all are doing now in the district, while I'm not a resident of the district anymore, if I had children, I'd be just over the moon that you all are doing this now. I still had to pay something for my children to get into Head Start, but it was a great program for them. And my youngest daughter, she did not get Head Start, and I had to work with her over and over and over again to help her with her reading. She was a very slow reader, but I bought her Hooked on Phonics books and things of that nature. And because I'm a communications major and I teach my kids technology and things of that nature, and so they know technology better than I do now. But I just wanted to say, I think this program is wonderful. And if parents reinforce what their kids are learning, they'll do well. And thank you very much.
And thank you so much, Sue, for your call and all that you've done successfully, sound like, for your kids. Miss Early, you wanted to comment on that?
I just want to comment as a former Head Start teacher and Head Start director. Yay, Head Start. Thank you for that. It is a fantastic program that, again, I think really works to assist and help families come together and do what is right for their children. So I'm glad to hear that you were a part of a program that provided you opportunities to not only reinforce your children's learning, but for you to continue to then have those skills and strategies that you could use with your youngest. So thank you for sharing.
I mentioned a while ago, and we never got back to this, how the daycare is the most expensive.
Child care.
I'm sorry. Oh, she smacked me. Child care is the most expensive in the country here in the district. Why is it? I think the statistics say on average it's $23,000 per child.
Well, what it's referring to is what private pay actually tuition looks like for some of our programs here in the District of Columbia. The $17,000 refers to what the public school system pays for each one of the children in the universal pre-K program.
And that $23,000, though, is the highest in the nation, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Is there a reason for that? And you've got like 20 seconds. Tell me, or you can wait until we
again,
come back on the break.
No, I think if we just go back to the things and the resources that I believe people think we need to provide here in our metropolitan area. And so we're competing. We're always competing. And so that's what that's about.
And we do know the cost of living is pretty high in the
pretty
district.
High.
So we do have to contend with that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Caroline Charles is our guest tonight, and so are you. So the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about universal child care and not daycare. Universal child care. The phone lines are open, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this timeout. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight's Insight segment, we are focusing on universal child care, specifically in the District of Columbia, its impact on mothers who are able to go back to work, on families, obviously in a broader sense, on the community. Universal preschool in the district is free. It is working and in effect in other states around the nation, not all specifically like the way it is in the district. It's sort of a kind of a partial universal care in other states, but in the district it is different. It is across the board. In studio tonight, joining us to further this conversation is Caroline Charles. She's an early childhood specialist. She's a former master educator and child development center director in the District of Columbia. The phone lines are still open. If you'd like to get in a question or a comment, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Have you had experience with universal child care? Would you like to get your child into the preschool program in the district? And if you're not living in the district, if you have questions about what's happening in the city and maybe how that can be translated over to your jurisdiction. We're also talking about that. Ms. Charles, let's talk a little bit about, I had mentioned earlier in our conversation that with the program in the district, we've had more affluent families come into the district and take advantage of universal preschool. And so that means you will have a mixture of children from affluent families, children from middle-income families, children from lower-income families, all mixed together, all taking advantage of what the district is having to offer here. What kind of impact does that have on the children who are mixing with all types of income-level families?
Well, I think we just simply go to diversity. and the importance of diversity being a part of the experience that young children have. Some may have seen videos of children in a classroom with others from different cultures and how they seem to just play really well together. None of them are worried about who has what and where they've come from. They embrace the differences that they all have. And so I think it's really an important piece to say to you that if we have communities coming together and coming to share in this universal pre-K opportunity, that we do make sure that we have children who are experiencing other cultures, that are working together with other families, that families themselves are coming to have a greater appreciation. We see what's happening in our nation in regards to changes or how we react to one another based on who we are. And so we have an opportunity to work as families together to do that, as well as we're training up our children in that way. Then I think we're doing a great thing if we have diverse learning environments.
When we talk about universal preschool, again, we're talking about preschool that's open to all in the district, no matter your income, so it is free. Anytime you have something that is free, you have a choice for free, and especially if it's quality free, then the other side is pay for your child care for children who are 3 to 4, and you may see the uptick in using the free. What impact then does that have on those private businesses when they're trying to compete with universal preschool?
That is a point that I wanted to discuss. What I've come to understand and what I've come to see in terms of center directors around the city that I'm familiar with, they've lost a lot of their 3 and 4 year old clients, all right, or their families, simply because schools have now opened their doors to children that age. So what happens is they become what we call backup spaces. So a parent may say to them in July, yes, I'm coming back, I'll be here in August, while they've placed their names on a wait list or in a lottery for a DC public school. That being said, if it comes up that around September they are chosen, they have now left that space. In leaving that space, that center, which is a small program, generally a sole proprietor sort of LLC program, has now lost yet another client. So their funding is really at jeopardy. And so though we have opportunities for these spaces and places to be a part of Pre-K Enhancement Grant and other programs that afford them the universal pre-K monies, they don't always have the opportunity to keep the client, because it's much easier for a parent to take all their children to one school, have them all there, and so they may not send them to a smaller-based program or a smaller community-based program. It really does affect the small business of family childcare, the small business of the centers that are here in and around the district. Again, I think it is something that we need to look at, because in doing so, these small businesses that are generally run by women are now being impacted greatly.
In your opinion, why does the United States lag behind many other countries in terms of providing preschool, say if we talk about 4-year-olds? I think we're like ranked 26th out of developed countries. I think Mexico is ahead of us, Japan,
wow.
United Kingdom, France. They see that where they may have close to 100% of their free 4-year-olds in preschools. Do you have any sense of why the United States really isn't up there in terms of, or why we don't push having our kids in school earlier?
I want to go back to when I actually moved to the District of Columbia. I came here from New York and I came to Howard University to get a master's degree in early childhood education. At the time, I was told, why do you need to do that? All you need is a high school diploma to teach babies. And I thought, no, I want a master's degree. I want to say to you, it has only been in the last 20 years that I would say to you, America has seen the importance of the first 5 years of life and what it means to actually educate a young child. I think before, the thought was, oh, it's a cute thing to do to take care of young children. Oh, that's a nice profession. Oh, you're going to take care of the babies. I've heard it over and over again. I think more recently, we have understood the importance of looking at brain development in young children, making sure that language and literacy is something that is started very early on. Prior to this, I think that is why we've lagged behind, the idea that, oh, they'll catch up. They'll get it when they get to school. And so now we see the importance of making sure that the first 5 years are robust. They are provided with lots of learning activities and experiences, and that the people around them are providing them with conversation and concepts and ideas that are taking our children to cognitive levels that they may not have experienced before.
And do you think this universal child care in the district, I don't know if you see the fruits of it already, but as years go by, that what the groundwork may be laid is a more educated, a more engaged community by having these students or these young people in preschool at this age, and with it being free, you're going to see probably more and more folks, parents signing their children up?
I definitely believe that the earlier we start with our children in regards to educating them and providing them with experiences that will have them to think differently or to investigate, explore, and discover the world around them, that yes, as they get older, they will provide us with a host of new ways and innovative opportunities to build the world around us. So yeah, I do believe having universal pre-K, affording all the children that we have in the District of Columbia the opportunity to go to school at three, we'll see in the next 20 years what a fantastic city we actually have.
Let me ask you about the process if you're a parent. If you want to enroll your child in universal preschool, are there restrictions? Is there a space situation, or can any parent get their child in, or is it a first come, first serve kind of thing, and there's a limit on the number of children?
I would ask that our residents, our families, our parents go directly to their local schools in OSSE to really make sure. But what we do find and what we hear a lot about are the wait lists. There are lots of wait lists that are out here. And so you may want to send your child to even your neighborhood school, and you may have to be placed on a wait list. Lotteries. There are lots of lotteries for our schools in and around this, in and around our city. And so for that, even though the district has tried its best to open up capacity and create capacity for our young children, there seems to still be a space and a place that says we don't have enough for all the children that we have in the district. And so we continue to want to make that possible.
And so there is no guarantee. You move into the district, you have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. There's no guarantee that you will be able to place your child in universal preschool. Would that be correct?
I don't want to make that an absolute. Mm-hmm. As you said, there's no guarantee, but the idea is that there is a space. There may be a space in a charter school. There may be a space in a public school. There may be a space in a community-based program. The spaces are there. It's about actually finding the one that suits your needs.
Before we go out, if you can, in the next 15 seconds, if you like any place where parents or those interested, again, in universal preschool in the district should go, is there a website? Should they contact their local schools in whatever ward that they live in?
That's definitely where I would start. There's also the Office for the State Superintendent of Education, which is here in the District of Columbia. Go to that website, which is osse.dc.gov. That will give you information and afford you all that you need to know about universal pre-K.
All right. She is Caroline Charles, early childhood specialist, former master educator, and development center director in the District of Columbia. Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation on universal preschool child care. Remember, folks, it is child care,
and not daycare. Nothing wrong with daycare, but we're talking about childcare. Thank you so much, Ms. Charles, and we thank all of you for calling in tonight and helping us in this conversation. That's the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. For this Tuesday, October 2nd, I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Up next, The Connection with Lorna Newton. Have a great night.